radio program. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. Hold on. We're here with Clyde Lewis from ClydeLewis.com.
I'm
so beaten. About that top five you brought in.
What about that top five?
Yeah, sorry. Sorry about that.
Oh, Clyde.
I come unprepared.
What can
I
really do? Everybody on the tape is like a bring your own, you know, it's like a BYOB kind of
thing. See, I always look to you as the music, as a musical genius. And I tell you, I mean, I'm
trying to shine my shoes. If you're talking about doing a top five, you got to bring it with you. It's understood.
I didn't know that. Besides, you didn't tell me that we were going to do the top five anyway. You just said, are you going to be on?
That's all I got. I just wanted to have you in to talk about Nazis and hot chicks in L.A. that you're talking to. 503-733-2970. We'll get CJ here in a second, and we'll give away a pair of tickets to either Night of the Living Dead, the stage play, which sounds really badass. You know what sells it for me, perversely enough? The fact that it's in black and white. That's the kind of...
That's kind of like in Pleasantville.
Totally.
When they were wiping off the gray, that was the coolest part of that movie.
I'm kind of sold. Choking on the top five.
One of your... Why?
There's punishment for being bad.
There comes a time when you need to let it go. There's nothing we can do.
You can't delegate push-ups either. It's not the way it works.
You should do five right now trying to.
Yeah, delegating push-ups.
I would love to, but I got to wait.
I've got to save them all in Super when Lycus is in studio. Sorry, dude.
Make Lycus do
them. No, you can do them in front of him.
Really? What are you doing down there? For God's sake. Let's welcome out of the Rick Emerson radio program. From the Hill! Radio correspondent Bob Constantini. Bob, hello, sir.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Bob. How's life? How are things?
It's been a bit slow here in Washington today.
You sound very harried, though.
The usual. No, I'm not very harried. It's been kind of relaxed enough. Well, I mean, there's always something to do, and there's always busy work. It's been relatively slow.
So basically, you're just stringing paper clips together and staring blankly out a window.
Not quite, but...
You can tell me.
IRS.
I won't tell Laura.
I'm trying to talk to the IRS. That's
the best day ever. All right. Hey, we had some of my favorite phrases in the news today. We had George Bush talking about, quote, an activist court. Correct me if I'm wrong here. Is it a fair journalistic assessment to say that an activist court is just any time a court does something that you don't agree with?
Well, sir, of course, depending upon how you look at it.
Let's look at it from the point of view that it is realistic and real.
All right.
And true.
All right.
Let's just speak plainly as adults here, Bob. When George Bush talks about an activist court, that's a court doing something that pisses him off.
Well, he called marriage a sacred institution yesterday when he was in Des Moines, Iowa.
Hell, I can say that.
And referring to another activist court, as you say, that's the New Jersey court that rules, in effect, the state has to allow gay marriages.
Now, is it that they have to allow gay marriages or do they have to allow an equivalence? And here's the reason I ask. Because, and I know that there's a hundred shades, it really is not a black and white issue. There are many shades of gray here because there is sort of the extreme right-wing point of view, which is that the gay marriage is an abomination and a sin and the opening of the seventh seal and there's going to be locusts and stuff.
Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
Yeah, did you see that there was a couple? Okay, Bob, you can appreciate it. There's an anecdote for you. In the New York Times wedding announcements the other day, I swear to God, there was actually a gay couple, two men getting married. I swear to God, Adam and Steve. I swear to God. Tim and I were like reading the New York Times. And it's like, look at this, Adam and Steve. It was so great because you always hit like in Utah, man. If I had a nickel for every time some pinhead in Utah, it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. It was so great. I wanted to cut it out and like frame it. Adam and Steve married after 15 years together.
I must tell you.
There's all facts to you. There are people who believe that, you know, this is gay marriage is an abomination. And then there's people like myself who's like, whatever, I don't even marry a turnip for all I care. I don't give a rip. And then there are people who propose or would be satisfied or at least for now would accept not calling it marriage but having some equivalent, like a domestic partnership or whatever, which seems like a bunch of crap to me. And I'll tell you why, Bob. Not that you asked or even care, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Here's why. It is like when you would fight with your brother as a kid, and your mom would make you, she's like, you apologize for putting out your brother's eye with a big pen. And you would say, I'm sorry, you know, and you would roll your eyes and just say like the snippiest, bitchiest, I'm sorry. And of course, that would just infuriate your brother even more, right? That you would, because what you really want is you want them to really honestly have to admit that they're wrong. And that's when they do this business of saying, well, we'll give you some rights, but we're not going to call it marriage. It's just like a bunch of it's just a bunch of childish, like 5 year old, obstinate behavior, and I think that's what infuriates people. And so my question is,
sorry,
is this actually going to open the door to actual gay marriage, or to some weird separate but equal crap that they're going to try to foist off as being gay marriage?
Well, basically, the court ruled on Wednesday that the New Jersey legislature has 180 days to pass a measure extending the rights of marriage to same-sex couples. That could be interpreted in various ways, and it could be a notion that civil unions they could be talking about the possibility of civil unions, and that depends on the definition of civil unions as it might be applied in New Jersey. But the president and others have been taking it to mean actual marriage.
Well, you know, which is just
of course, political.
There goes the neighborhood.
I got to tell you, yes, the Republic's going to implode. I can feel it. By the way, you might want to pass along the next time that you're speaking with somebody about this in Washington, D.C. The next time they start flapping their gums about the sanctity of heterosexual marriage, you might want to remind them that Elizabeth Taylor, I swear to God, just this week announced that she's getting married for the, wait for it, 9th time. So, and Larry King has been, I was just talking the other day, where he was alluding to some fight with his wife. Isn't like this his 7th marriage or something like that?
She's Mormon, too.
Yeah.
Good girl.
So there you go. Anyway, well, and finally, I'm going to ask you this about this Donald Rumsfeld, who, by the way, is just, I hope that they don't ever get rid of that guy. And I hope, here's what I hope, that if Donald Rumsfeld ever quits, is fired, or with the change in administration that comes inevitably in 2008 that he's put out on his ear, whatever, I want that guy just to live not in a figurative ivory tower, but in a real ivory tower that is above Washington, D.C., where he just has he has a microphone in his hand, and just like 3, 4, 5 times a day, we can just cut away to him on a nationwide television broadcast and just have him, like, bitch about stuff. Because he's the quintessential, really intelligent, razor-sharp, cranky old guy. And he's just fantastically curmudgeon-like and entertaining, and I don't ever want that guy to go away. He was saying today, and I'm going to read this just so I get this right. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld on Thursday said that the quality of armaments utilized by Iraq pales, in other words, is inferior to those wielded by the United States, and therefore he empathizes with the frustration Iraqi leaders face because of this. I don't understand what the hell the story is about. What is he talking about? What is this about? What does he mean?
Well, the Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki was quoted in an article yesterday as saying that if he had the kind of armaments that the United States had, the kind of weaponry that U.S. forces there have, he could have his country in ship shape, if you will. And of course, I'm paraphrasing a bit there. Going well within about 6 months. And so Secretary Rumsfeld was asked about that yesterday, and he talked about, of course, the Iraqis do not have the kind of weaponry that the United States has. Iraq's military, by and large, has old Soviet Union.
They're basically just using balsa wood.
And the donkey cannon is always popular.
Yeah. Spitballs. Well, here's what I mean. I don't mean to, like, is a donkey cannon like a Wenatchee banana? I don't mean to boil a Xanadu in too soon. I don't mean to oversimplify, but I mean, what are they, children? Do we not trust them enough to give, like, here you go, here's a gun. Like, we could start by just giving them one gun to share. And then, like, if they treat it nicely, then we could give them a second gun. Really, I don't mean to sound flip. I really don't understand. This is like going into a jewelry store, breaking all the glass, kicking everything over, and then refusing to give the guy a vacuum cleaner. Just clean it up with your hands. I mean, we've gone in there and just reduced that entire country to rubble and stirred up all of this insurrection, and now we won't give them weapons to fight with? What kind of... It just seems insane.
It is kind of interesting because perhaps a lot of people out there didn't realize that, for the billions of dollars that we are spending in Iraq, we are not necessarily equipping the Iraqi army with the best arms and with our kind of weaponry, but it is generally a feeling, especially at the Pentagon, that American weaponry should be saved for Americans and we shouldn't be giving it away and that kind of stuff.
Save it for when we have to invade Des Moines or something. All right, well, whatever. Yeah, I guess the Iraqis will just continue to be equipped with lawn darts and then wonder why things are going poorly. Good
well,
God.
again, we are paying, by and large, for their army. and their security, but we are providing the best weaponry to ourselves.
So we're paying for the army, we're feeding them and clothing them just long enough to put them out into the line of fire where they can be immediately killed by the advanced weaponry of the enemy.
Well, it is questionable, of course, how much advanced weaponry we could actually provide to them when we are having difficulties providing it to our own forces.
This is the hokiest damn war ever.
This really is like a cable access kind of war. Yeah. Like, I remember hearing how the first Gulf War was sort of a cable television war. This is sort of a Channel 13, the kids have a program they do after school on alternate Fridays kind of war.
It's like, you know, it's like us with big guns going against them with the rubber bands on the 2x4s. You know, it's like stupid.
All right. Don't feel the need to have to. That's, we're paraphrasing again, not unlike Ship Shape. All right, there you go. But Bob Costantini, I know that you're in for Lisa a couple days next week. We will talk to you then. As always, thank you for tolerating our juvenile foolishness. Enjoy your weekend, and we will talk to you soon, Bob.
As always, my pleasure.
Thank you. There you go. Bob Costantini, ladies and gentlemen, from the Hill.
You know, we figured out why this
I love that guy. He's just so completely and totally bereft of any zing. But I agree with Sarah. He's embraced it and he's made it his style. You know what I mean? That is who he is. He's
no zing.
CJ, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hello. I just wanted to say you were talking about Night of the Living Dead a little while ago, and I was looking through the November issue of Game Informer magazine.
Nerd. Yes.
And according to the calendar, on November 10th, they are releasing Night of the Living Dead 3D.
Really? A game or a movie?
No, a movie.
Night of the Living Dead 3D?
The original George Romero 1968 Night of the Living Dead?
No, well, I only had one screenshot on this little calendar to go by, and it looked like it was a remake, like it did Dawn of the Dead.
Is this the Night of the... Well, wait, Clyde, when did that color... When did the color remake come out? Was it 90 something?
Yeah, something.
Aaron's in Disneyland, right?
It's the guy that played the guy that was in Candyman. He was the guy that was
Candyman.
Yeah, the Candyman guy. He was the guy that played the lead character. And the scariest part is when they're in the cemetery and that guy that they bump into in the cemetery goes, it's just creepy. Yeah. So they're doing that 3D version of the color show. Right.
Wait a minute, see, but the remake was crap, wasn't it? Wasn't the remake terrible?
The remake was okay. It was all right.
Was the remake by Romero?
Well, they argued it. But yeah, it was by Romero.
All right, okay. And when is this crap, CJ?
Well, according to the magazine, it comes out November 10th, and being 3D, I assume it'll be a Bridgeport.
Fantastic.
Bridgeport,
which is... What,
see, I got a Rue Morgue. I got my Rue Morgue magazine in front of me.
Is that like a Rue McClanahan?
Nothing scarier.
Nights in the Rue McClanahan. All right, CJ, God bless you. I know you held for a while for that. Thank you, sir. Thank you for it. And it was November 10th.
Yeah.
Thank you, my friend.
Okay.
That was
awesome.
There you go.
Who are you to make fun of somebody for being too nerdy?
You know what? We do it with love.
Well, I know. Well, I've got a Rue Morgue magazine in front of me.
I was going to say, you know what? You go back to my office, I got a huge stack of Fangoria magazines that I was reading the other day.
I got the Necronomicon in front of me.
Seriously, how cool could we possibly be? I was singing Bon Jovi lyrics. Speaking of which...
What's the Necronomicon?
Go ahead and read parts out of it.
Klaatu!
I think Sarah. I know.
And you know what's better than a top five?
Sarah reading out of the Necronomicon.
That'd be hot.
Yeah, I think it would.
Do we have any porn music?
Play some porn music.
That is like geek porn. Sarah, if we play some porn music, will you read out of the Necronomicon?
I'm not going to read sexy-like.
No, you don't have to.
Well, come on. Just a little. Can I see it, Virgin, and tell you how maybe to read?
Find a part for
me. I'm sorry. Okay, Shannon, you put back on hold. Okay. Play some porn. Wait, hold on. Play some porn music.
Wait, hold on. Find something about Yog Shagaroth. Or...
Okay, wait, hold on.
Cthulhu.
Yeah, no, seriously. Okay, we ready?
Cthulhu. Flute of Azathoth. Both makes and unmakes the world's ceaseless combinations that are like dancers spinning on a woven carpet of time. There can be no creation without destruction.
I'm not going to do that.
Hold on. Make sure.
The idiot god on his black throne does not choose what shall rise into being. For they shall react and interact with the flesh and the arithmetic of Azathoth, who gather... who gather
to sum... that voice.
No created being has seen Azathoth save only Nyarlathotep, who is called Chaos that creeps by writers who...
This is like that many shrums and jewels knew what it was like to be roasted in the belly of a slurk that day, or whatever that crap is from.
Is it just like a fiction book?
We shall feast upon the feast of the unknown.
What the hell are the feasts of the
unknown? Are you supposed to know what those words mean?
The many-headed Cthulhu is the greatest.
Here, you... Clyde? Okay, the Clyde's going to read...
Why is he doing his Loverman voice?
This is a porn for geek girls. Here you go.
Wait. Let me just my glasses.
Oh, with your glasses.
You look awful.
Oh, and one of the sides is broken.
I broke it today.
You are the most ghetto thing I've ever seen.
You want some tape for your glasses?
I broke it today. I got to get me some new glasses.
All right. Here you go.
Wait. Okay. Dagon.
Okay, wait.
Wait a minute. Should we do Dagon?
Dagon, your mucus.
Okay. After exhausting the resources in the city beneath Irem and all that can be gleaned by travel through its soul portals and communion with the deep dwellers who haunt its vaulted chambers and vast many pillared halls, the traveler must descend more deeply into Earth. For there is no escape upward past the witch, whoever waits and listens in the lowest reaches of the western halls beyond the stone stairway, bathed in blinding radiance that shines out from the walls with the brightness of beaten gold. As we found a great door of cast bronze that swings easily and without sound on its hinge.
I think I suddenly understand what Becca sees in
Is this just a bunch of gibberish?
Yes, it is.
It is. That's exactly right.
This is the book that Ash is supposed to retrieve in Army of Darkness.
Oh, that's where I know the name from.
Yeah.
Vato, Varato, Nectai.
That's exactly it.
So, Sarah, it's your turn. Try something for the Necronomicon.
All right, then.
We're raising demons here.
All right, then. But before we raise demons, let's take Shannon. Shannon, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Ma'am,
that's the case. But who is this?
Hi.
Well, Shannon, you know, is it gender neutral? All right, Shannon, are you ready to play and complete this this 80s butt rock lyric?
Sure. What happened to caller 5, though? I'm caller 6.
Are you? Well,
yeah.
Okay, well.
All right, I won't complain.
I was just going to say, no, it's too late.
Yeah, you lose.
It's too late. I got to put you back on hold now. My mistake. You should have been dishonest. Okay, I'll tell you what. You know what? Because Rick Emerson cares, we'll do both here. We'll do you, and then we'll do the guy who's caller 5. All right.
Right.
So, okay. Clyde, pick two 80s butt rock bands.
Two 80s butt rock
bands. Just the bits of bands. Just pick two 80s butt rock bands.
Winger
and?
Cinderella.
Winger and Cinderella. All right. Shannon, your choices.
Those are pretty obscure, though.
I guess if you didn't grow up in America.
How old are you, Shannon?
I'm 20.
Oh, yeah, no.
Oh, you'll never. Okay,
we'll make it
like Def Leppard, maybe. That's a little more mainstream.
Twisted Sister.
What about Metallica?
Def Leppard. Megadeth.
Okay.
Cheap Trick.
Rat.
Cheap Trick's not a butt rock band.
Well, I know, but it's, you know, that genre.
It is. It does have to be 80s butt rock. I'll take
it
Def Leppard.
It has to be 80s butt rock?
Well, that's kind of what it is. Chicks are into butt rock. The Def Leppard. Okay, so Def Leppard. And what's another band you're into?
You know.
What's another 80s band you're into? Like another 80s sort of hair band?
White Snake.
All
yeah,
right.
There you go.
All right. Please now to choose either Def Leppard or White Snake.
White Snake.
Really? Okay, let's see here. I gotta, okay, all right, okay, I'll make it easy. This is really only, I think, one line you have to come up with here.
I know.
Oh, you want to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so sing a White Snake lyric, and then she'll have to finish it. Okay,
does I know what it means?
Can you repeat that?
Oh, no, I'll do the next line. We'll do two.
Because I know what it means to walk alone this lonely...
I'm not sure. I don't think I've heard that one.
Oh, wait, hold on. Do it one more time.
Because I know what it means... to walk alone this lonely.
Is it I know what it means?
No. The correct answer is
lonely street dreams.
Lisa. Okay.
I don't listen to hip hop.
All right. Shannon, I'm sorry. After all of that, I'm sorry that you've lost.
It's okay.
Okay, thank you, Shannon.
Thank you.
Right. Let's see here. Let's get Dallas. Dallas, hello?
Dallas. Hey, what's up?
Dallas.
Dallas. Dallas and Nyla Thotep meet together in the chasm of death.
Okay. Can't go deaf. All right.
I get deaf for 2 hours.
Please not to be picking a band. You can pick either Twisted Sister or
Rat. Motley Crue.
Or Motley Crue.
Motley Crue.
Twisted Sister.
Yeah.
Twisted Sister. All right. Let's see here. Twisted Sister. I'm trying to pick one that's not, like, insanely obvious.
Yeah.
Well, even if it is obvious, not that many people know it.
Okay, that's exactly what I was going to do. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. All right. See no evil, don't you think no evil, don't you lay no with evil, because I'm free.
Oh,
no. It was in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, man.
Okay, I'll do it one more time.
Okay. See no evil, don't you think no evil, don't you lay with evil, cause I'm free.
Didn't tell ya.
Oh, you're gonna burn in hell.
Yeah, oh. All right, there you go. Sorry, Dallas.
We're such a
hello.
I'll tell you what.
Yeah. I was reading in Game Informer magazine. This is Twisted Sister.
Rumorg magazine.
It's good to make fun of others. Seriously, I got a stack of Fangoria stuff 8 inches high on my desk right now.
Yeah.
All right, now there's too much of those little homies action figures.
I collect Deeply Red, by the way. By the way, you know, Lucio Volzolti Film Festival. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Right here.
I collect Deeply Red?
It's called Deep Red. These magazines I used to collect.
Collecting Deeply Red sounds like you get sores. I collect Deeply Red on my elbows. The doctor doesn't seem to know what it is. They have to come in and sponge me several times a day.
I have a rash. Okay.
I am a donut.
Okay.
Gross.
It is gross.
And now
I
say to you,
sleep at night.
That's Aaron's, by the way. I borrowed that from Aaron.
Sleep at night as though you're John Mark Carr. God damn it, man. How do you sleep at night?
Oh, look at that.
You got the razor blade to the nipple in that one shot. No one.
She has branches going into her face.
Well, so she's still kind of hot.
Yeah, she's hot. What about the one where they, what movie was it where they...
I like those chicks who were filled
Silent
with trees.
Night. Deadly Night, where Santa Claus mounted this chick on these antlers. It was the coolest thing in the movie.
I like my women who are filled with wood. Like trees.
Oh, my God.
Oh, what? Oh, jeez. Oh, what did you do?
And we're done. We're breaking now.
She threw something at me. What did you throw? What
here we go again on our own. It's the Richardson Radio Show. Gotta come back. 503-733-2970 coming up. Scott Daly's going to be in here. We will attempt again to give away these tickets to Night of the Living Dead, the stage play. It's 503-733-2970. He's and he's out of here.
From the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
We're still in the hospital after being rescued from Mount Hood. Maddie Bryant, Katie Hanlon, Christina Ruddle, and Velvet the Dog were with five others when they fell off a cliff some 400 feet. And they were kept alive by Velvet the Dog, so we all have Velvet to thank. She has some scratches and bruises, but we'll be okay. So the big story this afternoon, if you were listening earlier, we had live coverage. Evan and Nicole Smith, today's hearing. This was over burial rights. During the hearing, the crazy judge, Larry Sadlin, heard competing arguments from Smith's mother and her companion at the time of her death. The companion, Daniel K. Stern, sobbing like a baby, told the court Smith had purchased 2 burial plots in the Bahamas after his son Daniel's death. But it's unclear what the second plot was. And Bergie Arthur wants to bury her daughter in Texas. And who wouldn't want to be buried there? If given a choice between the Bahamas and Texas, which would you pick? So anyway, apparently Anna Nicole didn't want to be buried anywhere because she was afraid of worms and bugs and insects. And some bad news today about poor Anna's corpse. Dr. Joshua Perper made a comment during a phone call live to the judge in the courtroom regarding who should be given custody of her body.
Their opinion was that if the body should be viewed and look fine, the viewing should be done this week, Saturday or before.
Because the body's falling apart. It wasn't...
So he only gave 4 days?
Yeah.
Ew,
it's going to be done quickly. Yep.
Dr. Perper says two people have looked at the body of Anna Nicole Smith.
The two involved marriage performed the embalming on Saturday has returned today to check the condition of the body. And they observed unfortunate deterioration much faster than they expected.
Not even a new wig can help at this point. The body would deteriorate if it's not buried by next week.
They said that if it's next week, they are not sure that they can guarantee that there are not going to be changes which are going to interfere with the appearance, especially of the face of the deceased.
Ugh, gross.
That sums it up.
So we found out also that Britney Spears is back in rehab, and apparently that's in Malibu somewhere.
Yeah, it says that she was, well, it was rumored that she was checked into Promises rehab facility in Malibu, and then it looks like, then they're saying an undisclosed one, so it pretty much means that, yes, she's at Promises.
So some other celebrities have been there, like Jasmine Bletch and all those other folks.
Yeah, when she got the, no, she was the one doing all the cocaine, wasn't she?
I guess so, they all do.
Yeah, and now her face is all deformed.
Just like Anna Nicole Smith. So
like
she'll have to be buried by this weekend.
If the Jasmine isn't falling apart.
Then Nicole Richie has pled not guilty to a misdemeanor driving charge. People magazine reports that the plea was entered today by the 25-year-old's attorney in Glendale. Richie did not appear in court due to a prior DIV conviction under California law. If Richie is convicted of the latest charge, he will face a mandatory 90 days in the pokey. She was arrested in December after being spotted driving the wrong way on a California freeway.
That dumb girl's just so lucky she didn't kill anybody.
I know. So she needs to do some time. So that is it. Those are all the updated things. Nobody else new in rehab today. Well, Lindsay Lohan, we're still waiting for her.
Oh, no, she actually got out. She was out she at a bar last night.
Yeah.
Oh, did you see her?
I did not see her here, unfortunately. I did see some photographic evidence.
Oh, so, all right.
So well, she's 20. She shouldn't be at the bars anyway.
Oh, that's right. Tonight is Fat City. Are you and your delightful sister going out for a night on the town?
No, I've got to take her to the airport.
Yes, my
are you flying JetBlue?
She is.
I am flying JetBlue today.
How can you do that?
Well, we'll see if you are.
We'll see if it takes off or not, but I did get a discount and a good ticket there, so we'll see how it works.
All right. Well, I hope you get plenty of snacks.
I know. Me too.
So it's been an eventful day. In the meantime, we're a little bit behind on commercials and segments and whatnot, so let's get
just
back.
Just a wee bit.
Just a wee bit. So let's get back now to the best of the Rick Emerson Show. By the way, Rick will be back live tomorrow from California.
And he's going to be so mad that he missed all of this, too.
I know we're going to have some more of this tomorrow, hopefully.
Okay, good.
Back to the best of the Rick Emerson Show right now on AM 970 Solid State Radio.
They do kind of look like blind sunglasses.
They do. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. Here's a disturbing headline. Nicole Kidman desperate to have Keith Urban's baby. Isn't he full of heroin?
Alcohol.
Sorry. You sure it's not heroin?
Alcohol.
Okay. That means you're not in too much trouble if it's only alcohol. Aussie beauty Nicole Kidman. And I know that... Here's the thing. Maybe it's a generational thing, or maybe it's just us here on this radio program, because people have got us pegged. Jason Crump, our good friend Jason Crump, the other day, we were at the strip club, and he's like, you know, you guys have got a weird thing about kids on your show. And you know, and I said, thank you for noticing, sir. But maybe it's just us. But I think it used to be a real, like a real compliment if a woman was like, I want to have your baby. You know, it's like you would always hear, but there's no more horrifying phrase to me in the English language. Nicole Kidman desperate to have Keith Urban's baby. I just picture her like on all fours with her skirt hiked up. You know what I mean?
Oh my God.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's just sort of like, come on, this instant.
That's a you problem, not a Nicole Kidman problem.
Fair enough. Aussie beauty Nicole Kidman wants to have Keith Urban's baby. Sources spilling to the UK gossip rags. Say, Nicole, I don't like that you're spilling and rag and baby all in one sentence there. Say, Nicole recently began taking the fertility drug Clomid to induce, God, it's just all kinds of ugly phrases, to induce ovulation. Sexy. Before she left to finish shooting the fantasy film The Golden Compass. Keith Urban knows how much Nicole wants to get pregnant. Bob Dole knows how much Nicole Kidman needs a baby. Nicole's baby plans have been put on hold while her husband deals with a little alcohol problem.
Is that what they called it? Did they say a little alcohol problem?
A little alcohol problem.
That's pretty funny.
Is what they say here. All right. And...
found themselves drinking too much. Too much tipple. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
All right, so we'll go to Bank B here for a very important story.
I'm all over Bank B.
All right. At 2 a.m. this Sunday, it's the end of daylight savings time.
Dun, 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 dun.
That means you move your clock back 1 hour. Now, you may think that's a benefit, but
it
Cleveland
is.
Sleep specialist Dr. Charles Bay says...
He can eat it.
Well, he's the Cleveland sleep specialist. It can interrupt normal sleeping patterns.
Try not to deviate from your usual schedule and potentially try not to use an extra hour to stay up later than usual.
Oh,
if anything, use that time. This is probably one of the only times in the year that you can really catch up on sleep for free.
You know, why don't you just shut your pie?
How did the word two become the word two?
I don't know, because you're in Cleveland and you're an idiot.
Same thing everywhere.
Scotty says on the screen, just drink right through it, you will never notice. Whenever daylight savings time comes around, doesn't it always seem like it's the one where you're having to spring forward? Because you're like, I should get up an hour earlier. So, man, I'm looking forward to this weekend because it's the week we get to sleep a little longer. And so there's that sweet golden window of time for like a week before your body readjusts when it is like you're sleeping in for an extra hour. And then you sort of readjust and you kind of lose that feeling. But yeah, it's like you're kind of getting to go to bed for one extra hour. It's fantastic.
This Cleveland sleep specialist, Dr. Bay, says most people don't connect driving and the number of hours you sleep.
For a variety of reasons, possibly people are just used to staying up late, and they may be driving at times when they're not used to, namely later in the day.
This guy's not a real doctor.
That's cool, Dr. Dude.
He's a quack.
It sounds like a high school student.
I was just going to say, he sounds like one of the interns in the promotions department for couple.
Where do you want me to put this inflatable at? Okay.
All right.
Another noted sleeping expert, John Townsend of the Mid-Atlantic AAA, says this new hour will make getting home a little bit harder.
The most difficult time of the day for people to see, especially motorists, is around sunset or at twilight.
What the hell kind of accent is this? I have a completely made-up accent that is made up of the bits of other accents.
This is a fellow from the Mid-Atlantic.
The most difficult time of the day for
the
people
of the ocean.
To see, especially motorists, is around sunset or twilight.
Around sunset.
Especially true as millions of drivers in the area make their way home in the evening time with it being completely dark outside.
Marriage.
That's it.
Marriage
you got
is
it.
What brings us together today.
Twilight.
Ooh, that's totally what that guy is.
Play it again.
The most difficult time of the day for people to see, especially motorists, is around sunset or at twilight. This is especially true as millions of drivers in the area make their way home in the evening time with it being completely dark outside.
Is every sleep analyst just a moron?
Yes. Yes, the answer is yes.
Yeah, more. It's all because of daylight savings time. Because this is such a mesmerizing story.
You know,
it's all about turning the clock back 1 hour. And we continue now with more experts on the topic.
You know, the thing about this is, we talked the other day about how people
are interested, aren't we?
People on laugh tracks are all dead. Like all those people on the MASH laugh track are dead. These guys are probably dead too because they've been using these same sound cuts probably for 50 years in every radio show.
Mm. All right. And because it gets dark earlier now, more people will get killed.
Have you the wing?
We know that more traffic deaths occur at night. About 3 times
this guy gets beaten up now.
A deaths occur at night than during the daytime. And we're encouraging people to watch out for pedestrians, especially in the Washington metro area. We just had some mishaps in recent weeks where people have been killed.
You keep laughing at really inappropriate times.
Mishaps in recent weeks? It's like listening to Barney Frank talk about sleeping science.
We have one more here. We're not done yet.
This
is such an important story.
The war on terror needs to be won.
We are here as a public service. This sleeping expert offers a friendly reminder about that extra hour we get.
You get an hour of sleep. We say to motorists to take advantage of that. Here's why. Some people think, well, since I'm going to get an extra hour, I don't have to worry about
Drunk
driving is a prevalent problem in this area. People forget that drowsy drivers and distracted drivers are just as deadly.
I'm not laughing
what
at deadly drivers.
What is wrong with this guy? I want to hear the drunk drivers.
He is a sleep expert from the AAA Mid-Atlantic
and was born without lips.
You get an hour of sleep. We say to motorists to take advantage of that. Here's why. Some people think, well, since I'm going to get an extra hour, I don't have to worry about it. But drunk driving is a prevalent problem in this area. People forget that drowsy drivers and distracted drivers are just as deadly.
Oh, genius. Thank
I have
you,
to
Tim
know
Riley.
What this guy looks like. What's his name, Tim?
He's the noted sleep expert.
I don't think he has any lips. I think there's just a big spongy hole where the food goes.
John Townsend of AAA Mid-Atlantic.
I think his face just looks like a pit of Sarlacc or whatever that thing is from Return of the Jedi. Just some sort of a gaping cavernous maw in the front of his face. Genius. Well, let's do a watch so we can get at least one watch done. I'm going to say everything like that, guys, in that one.
Let's, a watch.
Let's do a watch. What did I tease? Did I tease a geek watch? I teased a geek watch. Let's get to that.
Let's do it.
Thank you.
High speed modem is
empowered. Halloween flow.
In the Queen Search Unlimited, I remember you used
this is a television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but we were wondering if the quantum flux.
There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn shit. You got it?
There it is.
Wabbitsies.
There he is.
You found his picture? Does he look exactly like we'd think?
He's a blonde black man.
Really?
Yes.
Well, how about that? How intriguing. I'm sorry.
So that's too easy.
That's fish in a barrel. I kind of wish I was high because it'd be even funnier. All right, it's Tim Wiley.
The 17-year-old Daniel Radcliffe, best known for his Harry Potter role, is one brave teenager. He's set to play in a London drama that includes a nude scene. He's making his stage debut next year in the Tony Award-winning Equus.
Our little Harry Potter is going to be nude?
Yes. It's a man pathetically fascinated by horses.
Okay.
It's really challenging.
The best part is when you say best known for his Harry Potter. Are we going to get to see his Harry Potter?
Parts of me want to shake up people's perception and just shove me into a blender.
Said his publicist. Parts of me want to shake up people's perception. Which parts are those?
Just shove me into a blender.
Just the penis.
I suppose that's true. Part two. A movie adaptation of Bungie and Microsoft's popular one-person shooter game Halo. I have no idea what I'm saying. Combat Evolved has run into trouble, reports Variety magazine. Both Universal and Fox have withdrawn financing for the promotion following a dispute from the movie's filmmakers and Microsoft itself over money. Halo, brought to you by the Mac. Brought to the Mac by MacStop, tells the story of MasterChef. a cybernetically enhanced warrior who has humankind's last stand against a saxophonist alien attacker known as the Covenant.
Master Chef
Cortana, where are my scallions?
Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, anyway. He takes the last stand against a saxophonist alien attacker called the Covenant.
I need two tablespoons.
The game takes place artificially. I don't think I can continue. And it's we're done.
I said cubed. Yeah, we're this done. Sliced.
Right,
thank
chairman.
You.
By the sons of Warband, I shall avenge you. And cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.
I'm not allowed to laugh or show emotion.
Set this to frappe. All right, let's do one more, and then we'll bring in Scott Daly. That'll get us back on track.
Dateline Sioux Falls, as in South Dakota. Two brothers, ages 7 and 10, are to blame for an estimated $20,000. That's more than the whole state is worth. To a neighbor's home, police say they apparently gained entry by using a rack to break a window, then threw fruit, vegetables, and whatever else they could find in anything breakable, including large screen TVs, light fixtures, and windows. The 7-year-old is too young to be charged.
By the way, we've got this. Rick, the dude speaking about the extra hour doesn't just sound like the minister for the Princess Bride. He sounds exactly like the minister from the Princess Bride trying to do an impression of Hannibal Lecter. You know it is true.
You get an hour of sleep. We say to motorists to take advantage of that. Here's why. Some people think, well, since I'm going to get an extra hour, I don't have to worry about it. But drunk driving is a prevalent problem in this area. People forget that drowsy drivers and distracted drivers are just as deadly.
You are no more than one generation away from poor white trash. Good breathing has given you some length of bone. FBI.
Okay, let's
All right.
Let's put an end to this.
All right, Sammy, come back at the bottom of the hour for more of this.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, no,
I will.
Genius.
I will. No,
it's
I will.
Be fantastic. No,
it is fun. I won't miss it.
All right.
Well,
cool, love. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
Oh, is that me? Am I getting that?
You're already here. Let's welcome.
No, I know. Am I...
Oh, no, I've got this.
Are you sure?
I've got this one.
You
no,
got
no,
it.
I'm all
okay.
I'm all lined no, up over here. Let's with the. That was Scotty's.
And it's over.
And we're done. That was Scotty's new and labeled here. Best introduction ever. Play this for Scott.
I love it.
Thank you, Scotty. There he goes.
Tell me, Clary.
You really brought the show to the nipples tingle.
I'm still screaming.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Good times.
Hi, Scott.
Howdy.
What's up with you? Scott Daly.
It's a sad day in Scott Daly's world.
And I thought yesterday was a sad day.
How was yesterday a sad day?
Because of the Duran Duran.
Oh, well, I just wondered today, though.
Oh,
because Andy Taylor left Duran Duran.
But, you know, Andy Taylor...
Are you drinking my Viso?
No, I bought this myself.
Okay.
We all had Will today. No wonder we're all a little loopy.
We've all had Will.
You know,
one after another.
Andy Taylor, I thought, has never really kind of fit into Duran Duran.
Even after he passed out.
He kind of did the Power Station stuff, and he was good, but...
I didn't know he was in the Power Station.
Oh, so you're justifying to cover your emotions.
No.
He was with some like it hot in the hell. That was him?
He and John Taylor from Duran Duran.
Well, I'm just supposed to know him.
Okay.
Well,
come on.
Andy Taylor and John Taylor?
Yes.
Are they brothers?
No. And Roger Taylor is the drummer, and none of them are brothers.
Three of the guys in Duran Duran are named Taylor?
Yes, sir.
Your name was Taylor for a while there.
Well, fair enough. Are you just saying, what is Duran Duran? Oh, it's from Barbarella, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right.
Well,
let's do
that.
It's all confusing
that.
For a second. I don't know anything. I wish
James Bond movie didn't do
anything about Duran Duran. Beautiful Kill.
See, you know more than you thought.
Okay, no, but I only know that because it's a James Bond fact. Duran. Sing me a well-known Duran Duran lyric.
That Christopher Walken, which is genius, by the way.
In fact, Scotty J. Let us take, you know what? I'll take the first person who can manage to get in here. We do, it's a talk show cliche, but we have one open line. It's 503-733-2970. I will take the first person who can call in for, this will be for Night of the Living Dead tickets. And what the deal is, Scott, you will sing me a Duran Duran lyric.
Okay.
And should it be that if I can finish it or if I can't finish it, the person wins?
If you can't finish it.
If I can't, but don't pick something weird. You got to pick a hit.
I will pick one of their singles.
Okay, you pick one of their singles.
All right.
If you pick one of their singles and see if you can stump me with a Duran Duran. Because I've been singing all these, like, Poison lyrics and stuff that I thought everybody knew. It's inconceivable that woman didn't know Here I Go Again by Whitesnake. Everybody knows Here I Go. Even Sarah knows it. So, anywho. So,
hey, Scott. Before we get started, thank you for setting us up with Joshua Jackson.
Oh, hey.
You know, I am so excited.
I'm very happy that I brought that much happiness to your life.
You really did.
That's Joshua cool. Jackson from Dawson's Creek.
I'm I can't be here for it. I've got to be in Roseburg.
Yeah. What's in Roseburg?
I'm meeting for work.
Do they even have money there?
Yeah.
I thought they were still trading everything with beans.
No, we have actually two branches in Roseburg.
Okay, they're not so buying it with goats?
No, they take bits of string, buttons, that kind of thing.
Okay. Pat, hello.
Yeah.
All right, Pat.
He's enthusiastic.
You're a fireball, Pat. Thanks. Okay, here's the thing. Are you interested at all in seeing the Night of the Living Dead stage play?
Sure.
What are you more interested in, that or the House of Midnight, a haunted house?
Well, how about both?
But no, see, it's an either or. When I say
go with whatever you want to get rid of.
First. Are you going to use the
best contest ever? If I give you these, are they going to be used?
Yes.
Okay, I'll tell you what. We're gonna make you. We're gonna do this for the House of Midnight, I think. House of Midnight tickets. All right. So Scott Daly, give me sing me the first half of a Duran Duran lyric.
Okay.
I must then finish it. If I fail to do so, Pat here will win the House of Midnight tickets.
All right, Pat. Enjoy this. Enjoy your tickets. This is a single, and I'll tell you the album came off.
I'm ready.
All right, came off of Seven and the Ragged Tiger.
What?
No. Pat, you just be quiet. Just hang out for a second. You don't need to do anything.
All right.
Don't you worry your pretty little head, Pat. You can just hang out. Just chill.
All right.
You ready?
Okay.
Is Pat ready?
Yes.
Pat doesn't need to be ready. Pat's ready right now by doing nothing.
All right.
I light my torch and wave it for the
Rock Woman, send me to hell! Sorry, Pat, you lost. That's
it's
it.
Not. I'm wrong?
Okay.
No, I won.
Yes, you did win.
Yeah.
I did not know that one.
Pat, what station is sending you to the House of Midnight?
What's that?
Okay, thanks.
All right, Dan.
Put you on hold.
Best contest ever.
Sir, did you know that one?
That's a P1 right
no.
there.
No, I didn't.
No?
Yeah. Amanda Pants knows that one.
I bet she does,
that
too.
That guy's helping us climb to a 10-share.
Okay. The next lyric is, New Moon on Monday.
You know, whatever. No one knows.
Oh, Monday.
Clyde Lewis is still here.
Clyde of the Bond Lewis
Let's
knows
position that microphone so you all can. You're damn tall. I never realized how goddamn tall you were, Scott.
A dwarf.
You really? Clyde looks like he's kneeling there. That's insane.
I rule over all.
Yeah, okay. Let's
be in studio with Clyde Lewis.
Let's take a couple of these calls here.
I'm so glad it's Friday.
Chris, hello.
Yes, I was just going to comment on the Harry Potter story. You know how many desperate teenagers are going to be trying to get tickets to that show?
Well, you know, I have a friend of mine who shall remain nameless, and this female friend of mine. Oh yeah, it's Joni.
Okay.
He's all hot for that Daniel Radcliffe guy that plays Harry Potter.
Oh really?
Yeah,
a little.
He's of age. I think he's like 19, isn't he?
No, he's like 15 or 16.
No, he's 16.
Oh. I mean, she admires him aesthetically speaking. She admires the human form.
He's going to grow up to look like Phil Collins.
Sorry. Well, anywho, he's going to be shown as Willie. So, there you go.
He is.
That's what we were just saying. He's going to be in a play where he's nude. He's tackle out.
Tony J was busy reading Tweety Bird knock knock jokes in there. So,
yeah, we were letting us
Tweety Bird's knock knock jokes. Yeah.
They were saying, blah, 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 blah. Wants to shed his Harry Potter image by blah, 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 and he's going to play.
That's why he shed his Harry Potter by showing his Harry Potter.
He's going to show his Harry Potter. His Harry Potter, which is next to the Wenatchee Banana.
Yeah,
is
he going
to
have a little turtle glasses
on it, too? Yeah, no, but you're right. It's like, now again, and I don't mean to be...
A new direction for Harry Potter.
Is there a lightning bolt on it?
All right, somebody take the alcohol away. I am just going to say, though, that... no, but it's like... and again, I simply am relaying what other people are undoubtedly saying.
He's packing?
She's packing. That's a nice nimbus you have.
Wand. Look at his wand.
Yeah, see, I wasn't going to do that. I wasn't going to go the wand direction.
So, it's an obvious joke.
The guys have made a lot of observations, though, that whoever it is that the girl who plays Hermione Granger is very pretty. She's going to be a very, very attractive young lady when she is of age. I don't notice those things now because she's underage.
But that's what they're saying, right, Rick?
Yeah, but that's what the people are saying, geeks who are not me, are saying that. Well, you know what it is? You know, it's exactly like Michelle Trachtenberg, who is now, I think, 19 or 20. She played Dawn on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She was also Harriet the Spy. And I remember that the Buffy the Vampire Slayer dudes were just, oh, she's going to be so hot in 5 years. And, you know, it's just all, like, it's a weird... But here's a weird thing. It's like I've said that I can't find Drew Barrymore attractive because, to me, she's always either Gertie or Sam. Is it Sam or no, Charlie from Firestarter when she was, like, 8? So it is with Michelle Trachtenberg from Buffy, who, again, is, like, 20 now. I mean, she's an adult plus 2 years, but to me, she is always Harriet the Spy, who is like 9, and so I can never find, and there's a photo of her, like in a new Jane magazine, where she's like pulling up her shirt and showing her bra, and I just feel so violated looking, I'm like, oh, baby, I can't, no, that's all wrong, it's just because she's always a little, she's a, like a little girl to me.
It's like Sully Moonfry, you feel the same way.
Totally, exactly, her and those huge cans.
You have no problem, yeah, exactly, talking about her cans, you do all the time.
I don't share the same sentiment you do with Drew Barrymore, because I find her incredibly attractive.
No, I can't.
But the whole Sully Moonfry thing is like, yeah, I can't think. It's very strange. I don't know why it's one with the other or not.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Thank you, Chris.
Okay.
We come back. We'll talk to somebody who wants to talk about Tim playing Xbox. Scott Daly is here. We had this whole grand scheme of things we were going to talk about. We'll see if that happens.
Okay.
Clyde Lewis is here as well. 503-733-2970. Stay tuned in mere moments. It's Fan Day with Sarah Dillon. Don't go anywhere.
Sky
Maddie and Jay. This is David Cassidy. Get a little today. Except
you're not going to amount to death.
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End this message.
We now into the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Hello. 503-733-2970. Scotty J. Hello, sir.
How's it going?
Hi. I'm now going to take caller number 5 for a pair of Night of the Living Dead ticks, as they say. And Scotty, you will then be pleased to be preparing an 80s song that you want to sing from an 80s film. Don't tell me you don't know one.
Come on, Scotty J.
I know that you've been
got
your whole life
arsenal of this important listening audience to sing an 80s song to.
So in the meantime, Scott Daly. So just prepare something. Scott, let's talk about the Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
Disc that just came out.
This week, Lionsgate, one of the best studios ever, just released a 15th anniversary special edition of Reservoir Dogs. Not only is it a Reservoir Dogs two-disc set that is in a gas can.
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty sweet. A tin gas can. The actual DVD case is in the shape of a matchbook cover.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. There's a ton of extras on there. There's cast interviews, kind of a look at the criminal mind, all the Reservoir Dogs style. There is just a whole bunch of great features. I bought this thing a couple days ago, and I dove into it a little bit last night. But it's the best thing out there. And all the new releases I've seen this week, there's not one word about it. So check it out, Reservoir Dogs.
They're doing that thing they did with the Terminator, where it's like the 100th different.
Yeah, I know.
And then there's still no commentary.
No, I don't think they're going to get a commentary.
You know what? I'm not going to buy it until they give me again. I know that he's probably weeping that I won't buy it.
Yeah,
he's all broken up about it. But I'm just saying, I'm not going to buy it if there's no commentary. Like, what's the point?
It's in DTS 6.1.
I don't care.
6.1.
You know what? I'm not going to see the so-called Guns N' Roses concert, and I'm not buying the Reservoir Dogs DVD.
Wow, that's your loss on the ladder. But it's a beautiful set. It's sitting proudly on my shelf at home.
Fantastic.
All to see. It's fantastic.
Is there a new episode of FilmFeverRadio.com? Aaron's on his honeymoon.
There is. We have one, actually. We recorded last week live at Ground Zero Lounge with Clyde Lewis.
Fantastic.
And the problem is, I can't figure out how to upload the damn show. I have it edited. I have everything up.
That's a geek. It all falls apart, doesn't it?
Now, without the lovely Janet, it all falls apart. Yeah. That's the problem.
They're fantastic.
And I don't want to bug them on their honeymoon. But we do have the Evil Dead 2 commentary up, ready to go right now. Great thing to do this Halloween weekend. Watch Evil Dead 2.
Get loaded, listen to the Evil Dead 2 commentary.
And enjoy some burger
cake.
Clyde is with us on that. All right. Introduction to burger cake. We had a blast.
And Clyde, you've got something coming up as well. We'll talk more about it on Monday, but what have you got coming up?
Well, my Halloweens are usually scary and spooky, and so it's not going to be any different. I'm going to be doing an investigation of the Rose and the Raindrop, and what it's going to be is it's going to be an open investigation where any listener out there that has the guts to go into a basement that's unfinished, it's almost like an underground tunnel. We're going to be exploring the crematory below the bar. The crematory is, of course, many people don't know the Rose and the Raindrop used to be a funeral home, and underneath it is a crematory, an oven, and also it's an underground cavern that you can go under that goes about 700 feet below the street. And we're going to be doing that. Also, when it's all over with, we're having a lottery. It's a dollar lottery at the bar where you pay a ticket, a dollar ticket. You can buy as many tickets as you want. We have 13 spots available for a seance that we'll be holding in the card room. Now, the card room is a very, very enclosed area, and it's an area where, apparently, from what I understand, there are ghosts that walk around in the balcony above the
Rose and the Raindrop.
The Rose and the Raindrop.
That's what people say, that they see a woman like walking up and down the stairs.
So we are going to be doing a full-on seance, and I'm going to be bringing in all kinds of things like tarot cards. There's going to be a Ouija board. There's going to be, I have this book that's 100 years old called The Mark of the Beast that we're going to be bringing in. And also we're going to have computers. We're going to have tape recorders and cameras just in case something shows up. Now last year we were at another place called Audio Cinema. It was this warehouse where we did a seance, and of course we had pictures taken, and there was a hooded figure, also orbs everywhere, and some really strange stuff going on, including phone calls from cell phones that were turned off and all kinds of weird stuff. This is a really, really scary time. If you guys really have the guts and you want to do something really scary, not something really hokey, but really scary.
Really scary.
Yeah, you can come do this. And a lot of people tell me, Clyde, you know, you're all full of it. Your stuff is like all crap. Well, if you really want to know the truth, you know, come and see it. It's pretty scary, and it does happen. So
let's talk about it again on Monday. Don't forget, ClydeLewis.com. Scotty J, please step up to the microphone. Let's find out the hello, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Scott.
All right, Scott, are you ready to play for a pair of tickets to see Night of the Living Dead, the stage play?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Oh, yeah. You're like the Kool-Aid man there. All right.
Never just flip you.
Scotty J is going to sing you a song from an 80s film. Please now to be identifying the film that the following song comes from. Scotty J, go.
Aruba, Jamaica.
Oh.
Ooh, I want to take you to Bermuda.
Okay, what is it?
Cocktail.
All right, well done, sir. Thank you.
I had water in my sleeve.
That was a good Homer Simpson you just did.
Scotty J,
I've got to
say I'm a little disappointed.
What happened to Ghostbusters? I wanted you to
get a ham of the Ghostbusters.
What happened?
I was expecting like a animal's fire.
Scott, I'm putting you on hold.
Candles.
Croc Hunter.
You know, I could.
Good job, Scotty J.
You know, I can do the whole Bobby Brown rap from Ghostbusters too. You know.
Do it.
They packed up, regrouped, got a grip, came equipped, put their proton packs in the back, and they split.
Yeah.
Who is your God now? All right. Is one of these people Mailman Chris? I honestly don't know the answer. I'm just going to sit here.
Have fun for us.
That's riveting.
Why don't you just take a pic? Like, yeah, there you go.
All right, there we go. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show.
What is the first thing in your neighborhood?
Hello, sir.
Yeah, that's me.
Hey, what's up with you?
Right in one nut. Not too much here, but hey, before I go, I gotta tell you this because Boba Fett emailed or called me and said I have to tell you this. The song that you were referencing from Iron Eagles.
One Vision.
Yeah, One Vision was actually from before Iron Eagles. It was from Highlander.
No, you're thinking of Who Wants to Live Forever.
I don't. I'm just the messenger.
Okay, no, you're he's wrong about that. You think, they're both Queen. But,
yeah, they're both Queen.
But Highlander is Who Wants to Live Forever. One Vision is Iron Eagle.
That's the best Queen song from a movie?
Flash?
There you go.
All right.
Okay, so you got to everything. Clyde Lewis, the Living Dead director, Geek Watch, Nicole Richie, House of Midnight Sick. Bob Constantine, Jim Roop, and Scott Daly.
Bam! In your face. All right, that brings us down to what?
45.
That's what I'm talking about. That's how I roll. All right. Thank you, sir. And we will speak to you on Monday.
Absolutely. Right, do you know how much those tickets are for the Night of the Living Dead?
I actually don't. I forgot to ask the guy that. I know it's bluemonkeytheater.org. I don't know if it's theater or theatry. I don't know how those people spell. But it's bluemonkeytheater.org.
I want to go to that midnight showing on Saturday.
It's pretty cool. The idea of it being black and white is actually pretty bitching.
Is it black and white?
But they do it in black and white with the makeup and the costumes and the lighting. But see, I got to try to see that Nightmare Before Christmas in 3D, too. That was what I was going to do. Maybe I'll do one and then the other.
Okay. Monster House in 3D was awesome.
Yeah.
The Nightmare Before Christmas in 3D is fantastic.
Really?
It's the best 3D I have ever seen. All right. Fantastic.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you very much. Have a good weekend and talk to you Monday.
You too, brother. All right. There you go. All right, don't forget, we are 1 week away from Tom Likas. So next week, we're going to talk about that a lot. Next Thursday, Tom Likas will be here doing his show. He'll actually be on our show next Thursday. Next Thursday, sitting right next to Sarah Dillon, Joshua Jackson style.
Oh.
No, Joshua Jackson is sitting on me.
Yeah.
Tom Likas is sitting over there.
I'm just saying, you know. Just saying if you need a booster seat or something.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Portland.
Yeah. Because they're fat.
And white.
All right. So there you go. Tom Likas in studio with us next Thursday and the next Friday. It's going to be a good time. Barracuda brought to you by Taboo Adult Video, Wild Turkey, and Team Quest Mixed Martial Arts and Fitness. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AMR 70 Solid State Radio. Tim Riley is our newest Scotty J is your PA, the master over at the Rick Emerson office. East is Dave Zinn. We went to next Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. We went to next Clyde Lewis from ClydeLewis.com. And, of course, Jim Roop and Bob Costantini. Have a good weekend. Be safe. We'll see you 69 hours from now, Monday at 11. As always, don't let that be setting up. Thank you for listening. See y'all. Bye.